Amen.
We can go ahead and still be in awe, but let's sit and be in awe. Amen. All right. I've got a few things. I'm drinking from my Contigo. This was my gift at our campus. We had a little get together and we had a gift exchange, and this was mine. You can't have it. Sorry. I want to take a drink from it right now.
Tastes better
when it's from it. It's so good to be together. There's so many people that are here today that are celebrating Christmas, of course, and there's a lot of our family that are away, and we hope they're having a good time. We know they're not going to have as good of a time being here. We know that. So that really goes without saying. So a couple of business items out of the way. Next Sunday, we will not be here. Worship. I know, it's pretty disappointing, sorry. But we're actually going to have a live stream service next Sunday that's going to serve two purposes. First of all, for us to be encouraged, amen. And secondly, it's going to act as a rehearsal, if you would, if and when we get some snow out. Okay, yes, exactly. It happens here occasionally, Sean. Sorry to rock your world. And so before you leave, there's going to be a piece of paper that you can gather where you can watch the live stream 11 o'clock next Sunday. All the information is on there. So if you can go ahead and do that, that would be awesome. I would be remiss if I would not say how encouraged I am to have Sean and Joyce here with us. We have known them many, many years. Our sons have done many bad deeds together. Yes, I'm talking about you, Caleb. Yes, I'm talking about we worked in the ministry together in Toronto, and it's just an absolute grand time together, and to see how God has brought them here to Ottawa is absolutely miraculous. It's crazy. It's only by the hand of God. And we are incredibly grateful that we're going to have Sean and Joyce be part of our family serving in the ministry here for a little bit. And we hope a long bit. But we'll see how that goes. And we'll explain more of that to you guys. But we're certainly so grateful to have you guys here. And we are really, really thrilled and excited about that. And look forward to see what God is going to do with our partnership in the gospel here. We're very, very excited about that. And, you know, I have a challenge this morning. And the challenge is to encourage and inspire you this morning and yet be scripturally relevant. Right? And because this Christmas time, as with all Christmas time, there are a lot of things that go on. So I want to say a few things about Christmas. I do not believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. Okay? Let me just get that out of the way. All right? What we celebrate at this time in this congregation is the birth of Christ. Not necessarily the birthday of Christ. Okay, being the 25th. We celebrate the fact that Christ has come on this earth and that he has been the greatest gift we could have possibly received. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Christ in December, not that December is the birth of Christ, okay? And I think it's really important for us to understand that. And some have argued, and I understand it, and believe me, it's not like that the origins of this is in pagan. Well, what a greater victory it is that we have taken something that is so bad and have turned it into something that actually celebrates the greatest gift that's ever come on the earth. Man, that's fantastic. We've hijacked it and taken it over and said we are now celebrating the birth of Christ. I mean, we talk about the Gutenberg Press. From that building, they talked about how in Christianity, in a matter of decades, if not maybe at best centuries, will be dead. And yet from that place, we actually is where the first Bibles were printed. And we laud that fact. We said that man who spoke about those things, now we actually print the Bibles. And we say that's awesome. Same thing we do at Christmas. I mean, we absolutely, unequivocally believe that this is the time that we celebrate the greatest. And so that's what this is all about, for sure. One of the challenges, of course, is not to buy into what we're being sold, so to speak. For example, Valentine's Day, right? Man, a lot of people make a lot of money on Valentine's Day. The same dozen roses that you would buy for whatever is double or triple. As a matter of fact, florists tells us that on that day alone, they make enough money to cover their expenses for the year. Not to mention the cards and the chocolate. Hallmark loves it. Not only the Hallmark Channel, which is another discussion that my wife is addicted to, that somebody needs to help her about with that, all right? But the idea of these cards, and I come, and these cards are $10 each. Are you serious? And then, jewelers tell us how much money we need to spend on our wedding ring. It needs to be 3 months' salary, and if you... What's again? Engagement ring, yes, for your engagement ring. 3 months. And if you haven't, you're not a good person. Somehow, and they love that fact, and sometimes we buy into this stuff. And I don't have a problem if someone wants to spend money on their children or on their spouse or what have you. That's not problematic per se. But when we feel somehow coerced into doing something that is so wrong, certainly if we can't afford it. And shame on you kids if you make your parents feel guilty because they can't afford a gift that you can't have. And I think it's very, very important. You know, it's so funny. I was sharing with Beulah, my mother-in-law, as we're driving up here. I grew up in a place, and I did not know I was poor. I didn't. I just didn't know any other way. Only until I moved to a place where I realized, oh my gosh, I was so poor. This is ridiculous. And there are a lot of things in life, it's because when you didn't know any better, that's just the way it is. I didn't know any better. And so my challenge this morning is to paint a picture that will leave you inspired and encouraged. After all, you've spent a lot of Christmases. And so that's a tall order. And so let's go ahead and see if we can do that this morning. All right? Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll spend a few moments and I'll give some reflective thoughts. In Luke chapter 2, we read about this event. Interestingly, when John writes about this, we're going to do the NIV today. That's all good. All right. When John writes about the Christ, he didn't have a nativity scene, right? He just made the statement that God became flesh. God incarnate. And then he said that it was not born of a husband's will. In other words, it wasn't Joseph's will. It was born of God. He was born of God, okay? And so that's the idea. And then we have other pictures being painted. So Joy so beautifully shared this morning about the genealogy that Matthew paints. And so all the different writers gives a different perspective, and I just want to focus in on Luke for a few moments. And so he says in Luke chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." By the way, let me make a comment on that. Sometimes we picture that and that these people were rejected. Listen, there were no hotels as we understand hotels and inns now, okay? More than likely what happened was a lot of people moved and they were had to go back to their place to register because they had to pay more taxes. The government says you need to pay more taxes. You need to go back where you were born to be able to pay taxes. And more than likely, people went to this place. It was a small town. Bethlehem was not a very big town. And so people probably had family and their houses were full. And this kind person says, "Hey, you can go ahead and stay in our manger." So it was not like they were going from place to place and people were rejecting them at the hotel or anything like that. I just wanted to at least paint that picture there. Amen. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." In verse 20, it says, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told." You know, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful Christmas songs is the song that talks about Mary, did you know? Right? It's at times hard to listen to that song and not become emotional. Because the question I ask is, Mary, did you know? Let me look at some of the lyrics here so I don't mess it up. I could sing it for you. Those people who are saying sing are not my friends, because they know if I sing, I'm going to lose all credibility. And you are doing that so that I will lose credibility. I know you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Mary, did you know that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? Mary, did you know that this child you deliver will one day deliver you? And what the song does, and one of the important things for us to understand at Christmas time, do we understand what we're celebrating and the significance of it? I am telling you, there is no greater news than this. And of course, if you understand Christianity at all, if I were to describe the Christmas season, it's the morning of a full day. The morning being the birth of Christ, and of course, the evening being the death of Christ. For the birth of Christ would mean nothing if there was not the death of Christ, and the death of Christ certainly nothing without the birth of Christ. But if we were to look at it, it's like the morning and the evening. And then what this really, really means, Mary, did you understand? And now the question is pointed to us. Do we understand? Do we understand what this message ultimately says to you and I? I love what Luke does. Luke paints the picture of the fact that this was a real event. And he grounds it in history that tells us not that some place that it happened, but that it happened in a city that still exists to this day, about 6 miles from Jerusalem. In this little town of Bethlehem, born this little baby boy. That it was a real day, on a real time, in a real place, and a real baby boy. Even critics of Christianity says, you lose all credibility if you do not understand without a shadow of a doubt that there was a man called Christ Jesus. We can debate what he represents, but to debate the fact that he was the Christ, that he was called Jesus and he was born at that time, you lose all credibility. And that the fact that this remains, that this Christmas season, it's an interesting time because the message that it tells us is a message that is eternal. The message of forgiveness, the message of hope. And there's a lot of people who do not understand this message of hope. And that's why at times like this, it's the highest suicide rate. Because people get a time to reflect as other people go and watch their children or their friends go and celebrate with their families and they have no one to celebrate with. Or the people that if they have families, they don't want to go and celebrate with them. And oftentimes we get cocooned in our own emotions at this time and we don't really understand what's going on there. We're told there are 20,000 families in this beautiful city of Ottawa that will not be able to have a Christmas dinner because they can't afford it. I appreciate the heart of some of the disciples. We decided that this small church will feed 20 families. 22 families. We bought some boxes, but that's just a token. The real message is not about buying a box. That the message of hope, I was talking to someone relatively recently, and they said, I was asking them about their Christian life, and I said, why don't you surrender your life to Christ? I had a relationship enough with them to talk about it from that. And the person, and he said to me, he said, Tony, evil always wins. That's his perspective. And if you know his background, you will understand clearly why he believes that. I'm so proud of my mother-in-law and my wife who grew up in apartheid South Africa. And one of the biggest challenges of her becoming a Christian was to actually forgive people who stripped all that you had, but above all, your dignity. While the land and but your dignity in your life and your future. And to be able to say, there's a God when that has happened to me? And to have hope even in those times? Is some things that we can never understand if you've not gone through it. And yet the message of Christ speaks to things when we don't have hope and we can't see what the end looks like. And so much atrocities. I was talking to a man the other day, and we were talking and having a good dialogue. And he was talking about the injustices that have been done. Or rather, I was talking about that, and especially in the form of racism. He said, Tony, but I can't understand why, okay, I haven't done anything. Then why are people mad at me? I mean, if I did something wrong, I understand I need to be punished. I said, it's not that simple. Because it's not about one thing and one generation. It's when your dignity, and if someone has been raping you all your life, and suddenly you say, okay, I'm done. Okay, can we all start afresh now? It's not that simple. You say, oh. And yet it's Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. Ultimately, it's about redeeming us. And I want to challenge you that the message of Christ is about forgiveness. And there are a lot of times when we have relationships that have not been reconciled in our families, that as far as it depends on you, that as Christ was willing to forgive and reconcile with you, that he's paved the way for that message for us. I am not so concerned, while I am, but not so concerned that the commercialization of Christianity is the biggest problem. I think it's the trivialization of Christianity that is more problematic. That it's become trivial. I mean, if you want to give somebody a gift, go ahead. Especially if you can afford it, more power to you. But when we trivialize this and we dumb it down to a red and green time of the year with the Christmas tree, we don't understand what Luke 2 is talking about. And so, that's the idea. Look what it says in verse 14. I'll read that. It says, a Savior has been born. And you should call him Jesus. A Savior who can forgive us of our sins and rescue us from the life that we live in. That's what Christmas ultimately is all about. He is the Christ. He is the one that was predicted about, that was long awaited. He was the one that was anointed above all others. He is the final anointed king, the final anointed prophet, the final anointed priest. And in him, and in this Christ, all the promises of God are yes, not maybe. That's who this Christ is. That's who was born 2,000 years ago, irrespective if it was on December 25th. But that's what the message ultimately is. That he's the Lord. He is Christ the Lord, the ruler, the sovereign, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Lord of the universe. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That it was on a real day, in real history, in a real world, the Savior came to take away our guilt, to fulfill our hopes, to defeat our enemies, and make us safe and satisfied forever. What does it say peace. Let's go back, Luke chapter 2. I want to read it again. It says this, glory to God, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests. Two aspects here. One, God's glory. This was ultimately about God's glory. Guys, it commanded such glory that all the heavenly hosts started singing about this. This is about God's glory, ultimately. It's not a time when your retail stores can go from red to black economically. And like I said, I'm not against gift buying, especially if it's for me. I'm sorry, I'm totally kidding. Well, that's not the point. It's when we trivialize it and we think that this is what it's all about. It's about giving God the glory first and foremost, because this child is born. But don't miss the second part. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is about bringing peace to you and peace to me. Peace that transcends all understanding. Peace when even our dignity has been ripped from us, that we can find peace in the Christ. Peace when all the atrocities that has happened in my life and your life, that God says through Christ, you can have peace that baffles the world. How can you find peace? How can you forgive that? I will never forget, as long as I live, the day when we were in the Toronto church, and there was a couple whose daughter had been murdered. And they went to the trial, and they found the person, and the person admitted it and was sentenced. And they said, I forgive you. I will need the supernatural help of God to say those words if it were to happen to me. And maybe that's what happened. You do that except through this message, because we understand what has been done to us, for us, and because of us. There's hardly a better way to sum up what God has done. When he chose to reclaim the world in Christ, his glory, our peace, his greatness, our joy, his beauty, our pleasure. The point of creation and redemption is that God is glorious and means to be known and praised for his glory by a peace-filled humanity. And we're not talking necessarily only between warring nations, but peace that is within our souls. And so, as we close here today, hopefully, I have enlivened and awakened something in your mind that says, wow, it's about not trivializing this time that is Christmas, that this Christmas will be more than just attending a church service, but it's ultimately about glory to God and peace on whom he rests. And if you don't have peace yet, this peace, I encourage you to find out about what this means. I encourage that you find out what this ultimately means. And so hopefully we'll never read Luke 2:11-14 the same way. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is why he came on a day to a real day to a real city as the Savior, the Messiah, the sovereign God, that God would get the glory and we would get to know peace. May the God of peace, and when you read that statement now, it's not the same. It's not just a punchline. It's not just a cute statement on a card. But that you understand that the God of peace, which gives you peace, ultimately he gets the glory. Mary, did you know? Did you know that the baby you delivered would one day deliver you? Mary, did you know that when you kiss this baby boy, that you kiss the face of God? Christian, do you know? Person, do you know what this is about? Do you know? Do you really know? And so we celebrate the birth of Christ as the morning of the evening of a full day. And the evening being the day that he dies, and ultimately was the satisfaction for your sin and for my sin. And so that's what we're going to celebrate now. We take the communion that is emblematic of the evening of that morning. Let us pray. As we give God the glory to the fact that he has given us peace. For God in heaven, we are incredibly, incredibly grateful. And yet, Father, we know words are not enough. And we know even actions are not enough. But prayerfully, it just reflects what we understand. And so we beg you this morning that you help us to understand in a greater way who this baby boy was. Thank you for his birth, because it ultimately led him to dying for our sins. And thank you, we have the redemption of our souls and the peace that we can rely on because Christ came into this world. Thank you for his death, because it meant life for us. In Jesus' name.